Do good people who are not Christians need to be saved? We are going to look at Acts 10.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. Want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit.
Good morning. Welcome to Perception. My name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this radio program called Perception, a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Do good people who are not Christians need to be saved? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 10 and find out. Verses 1 and 2 start out by telling us of a devout man. Here the Bible says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, meaning he was a man with great responsibility in the army. He knew how to lead men. And it takes a skilled leader to lead men in battle and in police action. Luke, in writing this, tells us that Cornelius was a good man. He also says that Cornelius was devout, feared God, taught his family, gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed to God always. Cornelius was a high-quality man. He is the kind of man you would want living next door. If your daughter came home and said she wanted to marry a man like this, how many parents would be disappointed? Can you imagine parents telling their daughter to find a man who is lazy and irresponsible, who does not fear God and does not regard man, who will not take interest in his family, who is stingy and only spends money on himself, who never prays to God because he's not a spiritual man? So Cornelius was a good man, which leads us to the question of why is his story in the Bible? Because there was something missing. As incredible as that may sound, there was something missing in the life of Cornelius. Even as there was something missing in the life of Solomon, as shown by the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Do you know what was missing from the lives of these two men? We all have something missing. Some things that we are missing do not matter, and other things do matter. Cornelius and Solomon would be in that latter category. They were missing something that mattered. To miss what matters could mean the difference between life and death, heaven and hell. In Mark 10, there is a story of another wonderful man. This man approached Jesus about inheriting eternal life. Right away we learn that this man is a spiritual man. We would have a hard time saying that anything was wrong with him. The Bible says, starting at verse 17, "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Well, can you find anything wrong with this question? Were not his motives of the highest sort? May the Lord grant more young men like this one. But the record continues. "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' But he was sad at this word," Mark writes, "and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." To say that you lack only one thing is, in our way of looking at things, complimentary. But in this case, it was a serious problem. How would you like for the Lord to say that you only lack one thing? Now let's get back to Acts chapter 10. Now I'm going to look at verses 3 through 8. "About the ninth hour of the day, he," that is Cornelius, "saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do.' And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa." Well, here's proof that this man prayed to God always, as Luke said in verse 2. He's praying at the regular time of the Jews in the afternoon. That is the ninth hour, or at 3 p.m. And what Cornelius saw was clear. He did not have to interpret some kind of an experience and infer that it was an angel. His attitude was one of submission. We find out that his prayers and his alms had gone up before God. Cornelius then was to send for Peter, who would tell Cornelius what he was to do to be saved. Notice that the angelic visit itself did not save Cornelius, nor was it a sign that he was already saved. Cornelius needed to hear from a Christian, in this case a preacher. He needed to hear the gospel. Again, we see the kind of man that Cornelius was. He had servants and a devout soldier who waited on him continually. The impression from the story is not that Cornelius was a rich, powerful, military man who simply had people at his disposal and he demanded from them and so on. these were people that he could employ and that the Roman government paid for, that is, at least the soldier. I think you will see that these servants and the soldier waited upon Cornelius with gladness and devotion to him. What kind of a man has people serve him in this manner? Now let's continue to read in the text and find something very interesting. In verses 9 through 23, we'll learn about a reluctant preacher. Luke writes, "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray, about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.' And a voice spoke to him again the second time, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, but I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?' And they said, 'Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Peter sees a vision to convince him that he should not call unclean what God has cleansed. Then the Holy Spirit approves of the men sent by Cornelius. The three men explain their mission. So Peter goes with them, along with six Jewish disciples of Christ. Here's what is happening. In the next chapter, Acts chapter 11, the Bible explains what had been happening up to this time. It says in verse 19, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only." Okay, so the church was only preaching to Jews because they thought that only the Jews should hear the gospel. However, God intended the message for all people. Thus, God took a stubborn Jew, Peter, and convinced him that the Gentiles should also hear the gospel. If the rest of the church could see Peter change, hopefully the rest would follow suit. We continue back in Acts 10, starting at verse 24. "And the following day, they entered Caesarea," that is, the six Jewish disciples, Peter, and the three men whom Cornelius had sent. "Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So Peter says, I am only a man. Yet, there is still another sign that Peter needs to see, that he and the rest of the Jewish disciples of Christ should start preaching to the Gentiles. Thus, the record continues in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Alright, Peter can now see God does not show favoritism. Christians are God's special chosen people, but anyone can become a Christian. The word and work of Jesus Christ was then addressed by Peter. Jesus came preaching peace, he said, that is, peace with God and peace between former enemies. However, there will be many who will be at war with you for following Christ and his righteousness. So be prepared. Jesus demonstrated that he was from God by doing good, primarily by working miracles and especially destroying the works of the devil. Peter went on to preach that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Peter and several others were witnesses of all these things that he mentions in his brief sermon. The Bible is filled with others who were witnesses. Not one contemporary of Peter and the other witnesses were able to refute this testimony, for they certainly would have, if they could have. The early church had plenty of enemies among the Jews and the Romans. Jesus, Peter said, is the judge of the living and the dead. Here is why the preaching of peace by Jesus Christ, mentioned in verse 36, is extremely important. Jesus has been ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. There will come a time when God will end all things, and every human will be present before Jesus for judgment. If we have not been faithful Christians, then we shall be condemned. If we found the peace of Christ while living on the earth, we will not be condemned, but we will be invited into heaven. Peter said then in verse 43, "Believing in Jesus, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins." So, how do I have peace with God? Well, Jesus Christ brings the forgiveness of sins, because it is our sin that separates us from God. Thus, believing in Jesus can lead to the forgiveness of my sins. Is this what you have been wanting? Then keep listening, because there's more. The offer of peace with God through the forgiveness of your sins when you believe in Jesus is for seemingly good men like Cornelius, and for extremely wicked men like the ones who crucified Christ. If you have sinned, you have the heavy burden of guilt pressing down upon your soul and just wrapping around you, and like a boa constrictor just squeezing the life out of you. Now remember, these things that we're seeing here in Acts 10 are all being spoken to Cornelius, the kind of man we would hardly call a sinner. Do you think if we could have asked Cornelius if he had sinned, that he would say he had? He would answer that he was a sinner. What are your sins? Perhaps you think to yourself that they are not that bad. But friends, Adam and Eve ate from a tree. Now how bad can that be? The only reason it was bad is because God said, "Don't eat from it." Therefore, it was sin when they did it. Although, from our vantage point, it seemed minor. Now, as we continue here in Acts 10, there's one last sign for Peter that he may see that the Gentiles need to hear the gospel. Starting at verse 44, it says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." This was the final sign, to demonstrate that the gospel is for all. You may think the gospel is not for you because you are not a terrible sinner, thinking that you do not need forgiveness. But friends, please remember Cornelius. You may be thinking, "Well, the gospel is not for me because I am a terrible sinner. God can't forgive me." But remember that he forgave the people who crucified his son. So now, watch what Peter does. The rest of Acts 10 says, "Then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days." God wants you. So there is no one who could forbid the water for you to be baptized. You can be baptized if you are like Cornelius, a believer in Jesus Christ, and if you are ready to turn from sin and live for Jesus Christ. No one can forbid the water because your sins are too great or because you're of a different race. But friends, you are commanded in the name of the Lord to be baptized. Interestingly, Cornelius then showed hospitality. Once you become a Christian, you must become active in doing good. You will receive many blessings, but do not expect to be on the receiving end always. Show hospitality. to your new friends in the church. Become evangelistic like Peter. Are you ready? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you turning from your sins? Are you ready to make the decision to start living for Christ today and forever? If you answer yes to those questions, then be baptized today. Please call the Nile Street Church of Christ, 541-882-5894. The area code is 541-882-5894. In the meantime, if you're not sure about being baptized yet, if you just don't think you're ready, at least come and worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ. In the yellow pages under Church of Christ, there's an ad for the Nile Street Church, and there's a map there to show you exactly where the building is located. Till next time, my friends, sharpen your perception about who needs to be saved. This has been Perception with Don Rule and the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. I stand.